Yay. She's going to get her mic, yes. Thank you, Scott. Well, the good news is that we ran out of these. So I'm trying to get a hold of it. He said, just let me know. And so I'm ordering more. But he hasn't let me know that he heard my, I need more. So we're about changing culture. Even this isn't the same True Life Church we started, in 06, February of 06. It's changed so much, and it's even changing more. Because isn't that what we do? We want to get more and more like Jesus. We want to be more and more. We want to get less like the world and more like him. And I do, you know, one thing, when I was on staff, I always had to wear a suit and tie, always. It seems like, yeah, and had to have dark shoes. Well, these are dark, but, you know, like street shoes. So being able to wear tennis shoes and jeans is hip and cool. You know, we're going to do everything we can to get the gospel to people, but we're not going to get so seeker-friendly that we look like everything else. Does that make sense? Like the world. I don't want to do that. So I'm okay with wearing jeans and that and all that. But we're never going to change the gospel. We can't. Wouldn't matter. You know, it's true, and it would just mess. God would not be happy with me if I did that. And so we're going to keep the gospel straight and just give it to you the best way we can. And I hope y'all are registered to vote this November. And we have to make sure that we're up current, because we're about to move back into Marion County from Richland County, and we don't want to miss this election. And so vote Bible. That's what you need to vote. Vote Bible. Whatever candidate is closest to the Bible, you don't have to go to dinner with them, just vote Bible. Okay? So that's my best advice for you. What do you have on your heart tonight?
Well, one thing that the Lord told me to tell you is you need to lay down. You've got some heavy loads. And can I borrow some purses? I'll give them back. Oh, Caitlin, you have a really good one for this. Look, and all the while, just, I like it. Okay, Sheila? Mm-hmm. No, I saw another minister do this, so it's not mine, but it was so good.
I thought it would work.
What happened? What?
I said, can I have some wallets? You're taking purses. Oh. I don't know.
That church,
there's something. I don't know.
Linda's?
Yeah.
I'm not leaving.
This concludes our service.
Do we have some over here?
She literally, when they said take an offering, she took it serious.
What? I'll give it back. I know, it's okay. For just the whole time, is this mine?
It almost looks like yours.
No. Okay. So, look at all this. Wonder if I tried to climb the stairs. Woo, I have heels on. I'll try it anyway. Anyway, are any of these mine? Was any of this mine? And that's just what we're doing. Like, we carry this heavy load, and it's not ours. And you're breaking down, and you're wondering, why am I breaking down? I don't know why I'm breaking down. It's because you're carrying things that are not yours.
That's good.
Things that were never meant. I'm coming down, okay? Never meant to be carried by you. What did Jesus say? He said, all of you who are weary. No, I don't know whose is whose. I know Char's. I'll start with like going backwards.
He said to pursue the kingdom.
Oh, yes. You're so funny.
I'll be here all week.
Is this somebody's over here? Whose is this? This is Sheila's. Okay. Nonetheless.
Jan's is the one in front of you. The one, yeah, the little one there.
But see, we need to ditch all of the heavy load. This is Melinda's. Look. I almost did it.
And we know that is Caitlin's.
Caitlin's. But that's what he's saying. And you know, if Jesus is saying something, there's life on that word. It's not just, oh, wasn't that cute? It's not cute to carry. Am I beeping? I don't have a beeper. But anyway.
It's too much weight you were carrying.
I know. I'm just saying, when the Lord wants us to say something, when he gives you a word, there's life on that word. It's not just, you need to listen to that. I need to listen to that. Because I know, you know, we have 4 kids. We have a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law and a girlfriend-in-law. Is that a, I don't know. But, and we have grandkids and sometimes, and we have parents. And sometimes we just take on all of the stuff or our job or all of the cares. But what did Jesus say? What did he say? Cast your care. He doesn't tell you keep your care. And now in the culture, it's like, I've seen this trend, and I don't like it, like depression. They call it my depression. And look, I'm not bashing anybody, but I'm saying Jesus has and is the answer for all of that. And the battle is in our mind. That's where we carry it, right? We don't really carry it physically on our bodies, but it weighs down our mind. And sometimes you're feeling like, I just can't do this anymore. Or like there's a belt around your mind. But he's saying, lay down those heavy loads. He's saying, hey, give me your burden. Cast your care upon the Lord. He says, take his yoke upon you because his burden is easy and light. So that's the biggest thing on my heart tonight, is that he wants you to. And how do you do it? You got to stop the thoughts, right? Am I right? Like, it's not all about, I mean, it's easier to take, I gave you your purse back, I gave you your purse back, but this is in your mind. And when you are clunked up, for lack of a better word, in your mind, you're not going to be able to hear the Lord very well. You know, maybe you're saying, I can't hear the Lord. He never speaks to me. I'm going to tell you, this is a promise. He's always, always speaking.
Always.
Always. He's a good father, and he wants to do life with you. He's not, you know, Pastor said when he was growing up or when he was even older, he thought God was this guy with a big hammer ready, you know, like whack-a-mole. You do this? He's not. He's gentle. He's lowly. He's humble. And he wants you to come to him. So you need to, first of all, the very number one thing, go to him and pray and just surrender it all. You know, if you worry about your kids or your grandkids, does that change it? Not one bit. I heard Joyce Meyer say this, worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. You don't get anywhere, but you kind of get tired of doing it. You need to lay it all down at his feet. And then you need to get into his word. You need to hide his word in your heart and know what he says about you and situations. And don't do this like the world does it anymore.
Well, I started writing the last, I said, Sunday, I'm going to do one more message in wholeness. And the Lord, this is what he told me. What is today? Wednesday, Tuesday. He said, you've taught them, they know enough. Now you have to teach them to hear. Like, okay. So I start a new series Sunday called The Listening Ear. And so amazing that she's, you know, we didn't know what we were going to say tonight. I was going to work on some kind of a short little devotional or something. And I felt like he said no, and he had other plans, and I'm okay with that. I think that's good. And there'll be people that'll be like, oh, I should have been here. Yeah, you should have. You know, it's great to watch stuff online, but man, if you can be right in the spot, there's nothing like it. It's wonderful to, let me say this, when our kids were little, you were pregnant, was it with Mal when we went to SeaWorld? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's tiny. She could turn sideways and clear off a coffee table. I mean, from behind, she didn't look pregnant. But if
what is your point?
Okay, let me get there.
Love ya.
That's probably true. Yeah, I'm going around the barn.
That's okay.
Yeah, sure you do.
You do. Yeah. I do.
And not when I tell this story, you're going to think it's referring to you, but it's
like
not.
Like Shamu?
Yes.
Is that, okay.
That's what I'm talking about. But it wasn't had anything to do with you.
All right.
But I just remember being at SeaWorld, and we'd never been there. And, you know, it's, I remember going and they said, oh, here's, this is the splash row. These are the splash rows. I'm like, okay. So you kind of figure like, okay, you're going to get wet. You have a chance to get wet. We didn't sit in those. We sat just behind those. And I had seen the whale on TV. And I thought, man, that's cool. One day we're going to go there, you know. When we were there and he came out of the water, it was like, wow. I mean, just because I was there, it just, it's like being to a Browns game watching them beat the Steelers or something. I mean, it's just. but anyway, you know, as she's talking about casting, it has nothing to do with fish, but casting onto the Lord and on all of those thoughts, life is in your mouth. And we give those thoughts life by how we respond, whether good or bad. And sometimes we think, well, I didn't say the right thing, so no good thing. But if you got to understand, it works the other way too. If you want to believe doubt and unbelief and bad, I mean, you can speak all of those things. You give it life when you put your mouth on it. And we have to be aware of how we respond and what we say. You know, little things that are, to me, are deep that I don't know. You know, we would ask Jesus for forgiveness. And I get it. But do you understand? He's already forgiven you. We can ask him, but what we have to do is receive it.
And confess our sins.
Yes. So we say that, confess. But if we're asking him, he's like, that's why I went to the cross. I love you. You don't have to ask me. I went there for you. But we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us, 1 John 1:9. So all of what is happening in the world and with what's going on now is so much we get bombarded with everything. I mean, your kids and grandkids and ours, they got to deal with stuff we never had to deal with when we were their age. And then think about, like, you know, my dad sitting in the back. At his age, he didn't have to deal with stuff I had to deal with. I mean, there's always in school, if you went to school, there's always bullies. There's always people like that. So we all have stories like that. But, I mean, the stuff and the access to the stuff that the enemy is doing. So we have to be aware. We have to be, as leaders in our home, as priests in our home, whether we're the grandparents or not, well, it's their kids. I get it's their kids. But you still can bring wisdom to the table. You still have authority. You still can speak into their life because God has put you there. And sometimes I think for us, we get timid, not with our grandkids or anything, because I think they're being taught right. That's not what I mean. I mean, just in the world, well, I don't want to say anything. I might offend somebody. I understand, but sometimes somebody needs to stand up and just say what's right. Just say what's right. Just say that's not true. And because the other thing will take people that are not of a strong mind or a strong belief and just take them down the wrong path. I'll give you an example of this, and I have it. It might be in the message. I don't know. But I went to, I don't know where I was going to Florida, but I can't remember if I was going to see Dad and bring them back. And the plane got delayed. And then they said, well, the plane's got some engine problems. And it's, so they're getting another plane. So we were, what, a 2-hour or 3-hour delay. And so I'm stuck at the airport. And so Kim and I are communicating. And she's like, how are you doing? I'm like, well, you know, I mean, there's nothing I can do except just thank you, Jesus. Okay. So I'm, you know, doing what I normally do, handing out cards to people that don't even live in our state. Hey, come to our church. And then they said, okay, your flight's getting ready. They were able to fix the same plane. And we're going to use that plane again. So I told PK that, and she's like, I'm not good with that. I don't, you know, I mean, they just said it can't fly because of engine problems. How do you know they fixed it? Like, I don't know. They're professionals. I don't know. She goes, I don't want, do not get on that plane. And I said, I'll tell you what. And she said, what? And I said, I'll go pray. She goes, yes, you go pray in the Spirit, and I'll pray in the Spirit. And they gave us a time to, you know, and I'll call you back. So I went and I did that. Now, here's the reason. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you are praying to God, and he reveals mysteries to you of what, and he told me, you can get on that plane. It's not going to crash. So I told her, I said, I'm getting on the plane. She goes, what'd he say? And so I told her, and she said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. She said, okay. Okay. So we prayed. I got on the plane. Now, I usually sit, if I'm sitting in coach, here's some stuff about me that's fun. I sit clear back at the tail because nobody likes to sit back at the tail. They all like to sit and get the seat up front and all that stuff. I just go back to the tail. And I heard Mark Lowry say, if you've ever seen a plane crash, that tail's always sticking up. So if I get my tail on the tail, I'll save my tail. But I wasn't worried about the plane crashing because the Lord had already told me. But I just went back there and I sat by a very nice grandma lady and everything. And then I had a guy in front of me that was drinking a lot. And, you know, because so we're sitting on the plane and he's drinking. And then the plane is about to, and he's afraid. And so he starts talking out loud. And everybody around, I mean, he's not shy. He's been drinking. And so he's, you know, this is not going to work out. We're all going to. And then pretty soon the plane's, and it's, we're in the air in turbulence. It was a rough takeoff. It was a rough landing. And the plane is shaking, and he starts screaming, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. It's going to crash. And kids are starting to cry, and people are looking back like, somebody shut that man up, you know. And I just looked at him. I said, sir. And he was right there. He turned around and looked at me, and I said, look at me. He looked at me. I mean, and I'm just talking like I'm talking to you. I said, we are not going to crash. He said, how do you know that? I said, God told me that. He's got a call on my life, and it's not to end on this plane. Sit down. It's going to be all right. He goes, are you sure? I said, I'm positive. He turned around, and he sat down. Everybody got quiet. I think I even heard a couple golf claps. And then he goes, beer. And he drank the rest of the way while we were leaving. But we didn't crash. Everything's fine when we landed. What I'm telling you is the enemy's going to do everything he can to get you off your place of rest. You choose whether you lose your peace or not. You choose whether you give it up. You choose whether you choose life or the alternative. And it's not always easy. So I don't have it all down. So it's not like I don't ever, you know. But what I'm saying is, I'm not trying to leave you guys out. So I'll keep talking. We're here too. It is just us speaking life to situations, and you're in those, and you need to understand you're the Jesus in that situation. And that's the for real truth. God is looking for somebody to stand up and be him. Not literally, I mean, he's inside you, right? Yes? Yes? If he's inside you, then you have what he has. So because of that, you can have confidence to go, I can pray for something. I mean, do you think Jesus ever said, I don't know. I mean, Jesus was just like, come here. Bring him to me. Man, give me, don't you want that kind of faith? Just bring him to me. And Jesus would just be, and the disciples asked stuff like, why couldn't we do it? And he said, this doesn't come out by prayer and fasting. And for years, we were taught that all demons don't come out unless you fast or, you know, that's not true. The fasting isn't for the demon. The fasting is for you. So that you know what you're dealing with. So that you can deal with that situation correctly. Now, Jesus was, you know, Jesus on the spot. He knew exactly what was going on, and he was able to deal with that. There's sometimes that praying in the Spirit, that's what you need. And if you can't hear, you might need to fast a meal or more or whatever. I mean, and here's all, you know what fasting is? Fasting is just taking away stuff so that you can focus on why you're doing what you're doing. It's just for you to get your spiritual mind onto the things that God wants it to tell you. And sometimes it's hard because your stomach's growling or whatever, but you, your flesh will, you'll survive. You tell your flesh, life is in your mouth. I'm not eating till supper time. I mean, I pastored youth, and youth eat food. I had a kid, 5 Big Macs, 5. And he's skinny as a rail. Something wrong with that, by the way. But he could eat 5. And I'm thinking, I'll give him a scripture, this too shall pass. Someday, that ain't going to work, pal. But anyway, the kids were wanting, hey, we want to fast. We want to do some things for God. And so fasting to them, you know, food is part of their life. Well, like all of us, I guess. But still, to a teenage boy or whatever, you know, don't eat the whole bag, okay? Save some for somebody else. But anyways, we would, you know, I would challenge them to fast, like, starting at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. Just to get them started, and don't eat until the next day at, let's just say, whatever time we would pick. So it's kind of like they're going to sleep during some of that time of fasting. Some people might say, I'm just trying to get their foot in the door. But kids were coming back saying, I was praying for so-and-so, and he told me this, and he told me that. I don't think they would have did that because they were focused on seeking God. And I'm not saying you need to, but I'm just saying it could be just fast. It might be fasting something like Facebook. Heaven forbid you'd fast drama, you know. I mean, whatever. But again, life is in your mouth. Every one of us in here probably have different situations that are happening. You know, some of you, I gave a word the Lord told me, and God was like, okay, that's just a word of knowledge. That's what that is. That's just from the Lord. And so you just say, thank you, God. And you receive that, and you speak it. And the enemy's going to come in, and what's he going to try to get? He's going to try to come after that word. Now, if my word doesn't match up with the book, he can have all those words he wants. But if it matches up with the book, you don't give those up. You hang on to them. And you remember those 3 things we talked about. You're going to need to speak to those thoughts. You bind those. You speak the word, revelation, the word of, you know, you speak something against whatever he's telling you, the lie he's telling you. You get a word that speaks against that. And you say it out loud. Faith comes by. And so you say it out loud. And then you bind that spirit that sent it. Most of them are driven by fear. So you bind fear. You will not have your place in my life. And this, I speak against this. I will have a long life, and he will satisfy me. And you speak it, and then you just start praising God. I'm telling you, those thoughts just go, and they just take off. And you'll feel the peace come back in your spirit. But you got to keep it. And that's the thing. You have to devote yourself to Jesus, to the Word of God. Tag team.
All righty. You ready?
Yeah.
This may not bless you, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay?
Well, after my Shamu story, you're good.
I know. This isn't about you.
Okay, well, good.
But this is the truth. We need knowledge. And this is the part that's not going to bless you, but it will in the long run. So if you have sickness in your body, you have a knowledge problem. Don't hate me, okay? There's something you don't know. If you have lack, you have a knowledge problem. You still love me? If you have relational problems, you have a knowledge problem. You know, like, and who has all knowledge? The Lord. Am I okay to keep going? All righty. You're like, you're already out there, sister girl. I'm just saying the Lord is faithful, and he will show you what you don't know. Does that make sense? Like, Lord, what don't I know? It's not about what we're doing or not doing. Does that make sense? Because it's the truth that sets you free.
So if you're just basing all this on works, it's not about what you did. He's already done it.
For instance, you can have 900 healing scriptures, Say them every day. I'm not saying that's a bad thing because you're getting that word in your heart. But if you're just doing it, there's two ways to do it. You're doing it to meditate, like you're eating that. And it's going down into your spirit. And it is a seed and it will grow. If you plant it, the word says that it, the word of God is like a seed and it will grow. But if you're doing it like, you're saying it, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes. I've said it 900 times and it's still not happening. Because you're now into works. Does that make sense? Have I lost anybody?
I've done all the right things.
Yeah.
I've said it. You're like the lion going, I do.
Yep.
That's what she's trying to say. And that's
so,
what,
and yeah. The reason I can say that is because I've lived it. Lived the experience. You know, I'm like, why? It just feels like nothing's working. Do you ever feel like nothing's working? Is that me?
Probably. But okay. This has been acting up too. So.
Okay. Quit acting up. You feel like nothing's working, or you've dealt with sickness for way too long. So, and I heard someone, I'm like, Lord, it's not working, or I need to know what. I remember, and I'm going to be really vulnerable here, we had COVID, it was not fun, obviously, but it was also... You know, when you're looking at your husband and I don't know what to do with this. Is it okay? I don't know. Anyway, I didn't know what to do and I was crying out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I remember saying that. I don't know what to do. But finally, I put on some healing scriptures. Just let it play. Some scriptures about fear. Ron's going to come and save the day. But nonetheless... there is knowledge that we don't have. Like there is something that we're just like, there's a wrong thought because the enemy works in thoughts. There's something that I don't know. So if you pray and ask him, Lord, what is the knowledge that I need? Thank you. Check. Do I have to turn it on? Nope. It's on. Okay. What is the knowledge? Am I losing you? Who am I losing? It's okay to say, no, you're losing me. Because sometimes we don't know what we don't know. We're trying to do all the things, you know, click our heels together 3 times and turn around and blow the bubbles and, you know, and woo, you know, at the end, you know, and that's not what does it. Jesus, remember I told you Jesus said, he said to me, I paid for that. What Pastor was saying, you have to rest in that.
And the enemy can't do. And this stuff we didn't know back then. I mean, it's like what God has showed us now. He can't do anything without our consent or cooperation.
Right.
That blows me away. I mean, literally, I'm like, if that's true, what have I done? How have I let him in? Or what did I get in agreement with? Or whatever. I mean, and we can say all day long, oh, that's not true. But I'm telling you, it is true. There's things that, you know, we thought we were doing everything. And I understand we are human beings, but we also have the Spirit of God in us that raised Christ from the dead. That's why that baptism in the Holy Spirit is so important. But, I mean, there was a little thing one time with one of our kids had a fever, and she was on the phone, and they said, you know, fevers always go up at night. And she said, yep. And his fever went up, and she's like, I'm praying, and it's not. And so she went to the Lord and said, God, what is it? And he said, you got an agreement with that. Now, he's not mad at the other person. He's just saying, you got an agreement with something that's not supposed to happen. So she broke it, and the fever went away. It's amazing. And people will be like, that can't be true. Well, there's a lot of accounts in the Bible that would argue with you. And so for me... I was mad. I was upset when I had gotten COVID. I was not happy because you know me from up here. I'm like, I'll take the test. Give me the stinking test. And then it came back positive. I'm like, what? Because I thought I was going to be like, ha! And so, you know, somewhere, somehow, whatever, I got a knowledge issue Nobody likes to admit those things. We don't like to be accountable for that. But God would not give me COVID. So would the enemy? Oh, boy, he'd do that and a lot more. thinking and just saying, God, show me what to do. Now, that's not condemning anybody that's had it, because I'm just telling you I did. So I'm not throwing judgment out there. I already walked all that. And there's battles that we all walk. Some we've walked before, and then we find out, like, I'm doing it again. No. So, and then we figure it out, and then we go, okay. And it's not, I had somebody say, it's just too hard. There's just too much. I can't do it. The thing is, that's the problem right there. You can't do it. He already did it. And that's where I was having issue, because I'm like, well, I can't get that. I'm Superman. this isn't about me. This is about him. This is about how I rest in him. How I do what he says. Jesus was like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I just say what my Father says. I want to be like that. Because the enemy, I just heard this, so we're getting all this stuff in as much as we can. So we spend a lot of time on podcasts and a lot of time studying and stuff, but something that I'm like, this is a truth that just blew me away, and I never thought of it. And if I don't say it, you probably will, and you can jump in. In Genesis, that's the first book in the Bible. We all know that. The enemy comes in. Now, and here's the thing. The people that think that you don't have a choice, or it's your predestined, everybody, there's people you don't get. It's already predetermined. God gave you a free will and a choice. So you have a choice to choose God or not. In the garden, God said, let's make man in our own image and likeness. In the garden, Eve's in the garden, and the enemy comes up to Eve and says, I'm paraphrasing, look at the fruit. See how good that is? You know, if you eat that fruit, God doesn't want you to, because he knows now if you eat that fruit, you will be like him. She's already like him, but she doesn't see it. So he comes in with that's the biggest lie of all. You'll be like God. You are already made in his likeness, in his image. That's why the devil hates that. And so from that very first deception, man, we just have to, who do we identify with? I want to identify with Jesus. If I'm made like him, now I got a picture, we have it somewhere, of me and my sister sitting on Graham's porch in the back eating popsicles, and got an apron on. Probably got it from Uncle John. He probably handed it to me. No, it wasn't. But I'm just a little boy. I'm just a little boy. I'm like four. I'm like Arrow. Well, Arrow's five now. But and my sister's sitting there beside me. She's 15 months older than me. And I had that picture hanging up on our wall at home. And people, I can't tell you how many people come in and go, that is a great picture of Zach. It wasn't Zach. It was me. But it looked exactly like Zach. Because he was kind of made my image. And if we would understand how powerful our God is, and how much he loves you, and how much your likeness is of the Father, my heart, my goal, BK's goal, is to teach you the truth of the word so that you find that and these same things that have been plaguing you, no more. No more. You're dead to those. Wouldn't that be great to walk free of stuff that's plagued you for years? I'm dead to that. That's what we want.
So what we need to know, I think we know the scriptures, but we need to meditate on them. Because You know, there is a scripture that says that when we ask Jesus into our heart, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us.
Yes.
But yet, I've been dealing with sickness. What is happening? Because maybe I'm not meditating on that. Wait a minute. The same spirit, like I'm identifying with, you know, the curse or sickness. I still have symptoms. If you still have symptoms, that doesn't, and I know this seems totally upside down, but you're the healed. You are healed. You are the righteousness. You know, who himself bore our own sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So if we know, and there's in the New Testament, there's a scripture that says that your faith becomes effectual when you acknowledge and realize every good thing in you, that's in him. That's in there. Did you know that's in there? That your faith becomes effectual when you realize, when the knowledge of everything that you have in him, in Jesus, as he is, so are we in this world. But there is a...
Well, in him we live, we move, we have our being.
Yes.
On earth as it is. Do you think in heaven there's sickness? Why? I'm just... Nope. Anyway, I'll do my best to teach it. The best as God shows me. And I'm not going to teach anything that's not in the book. And you can take me to task on it. You can look at it in the book or whatever. I'm not going to teach anything weird and funky. But I'm just saying, I want to start walking in the promises of God to the point of like, you know, I get it. So, you know, I don't want people, he's sick. You're not supposed to, you know. I'm just like, okay, break that. Okay, it's not okay. But still, I want to be able to be like, okay, God, when I went into hospital and when I still do now to pray for people, I don't worry about getting sick. I just don't. Because I am going in there as God's agent. And if Jesus is in me, he's not in here. Brett, wait, let me pray for him just a second. You got a hanky? I mean, he's not doing that because there's none of that in heaven. Why would he say stuff like he says there? And we've just accepted, and I'm guilty of it. I've accepted so much of just the world's interpretation or own doctrine. I hope that helps you. And if you feel weird, just hang on. And, you know,
and I want to say there's no condemnation.
No.
There's not. So if you're feeling condemned, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The enemy doesn't want you to know what you have, and that's the knowledge problem. That's the disconnect. That when we know, wait a minute, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and by his stripes, I'm healed. Word up. That's just the fact, Jack. I don't have to stomp my foot, do a karate chop, and do a this, and then I'm healed. That's not it. It's we're resting in what Jesus already did it. The stripes on his back are evidence.
But right now, it's like petting a cat backwards because we've all not been raised up in all that. I mean, it's kind of like, wait, I mean, isn't this just part of it? It's just part of, I get it. Yeah, I mean, we've just accepted so many things. So as we live, in him we live and move and have our being. I want to live to the best of my ability. So, you know, if you're like, okay, I can't go to church, I got the sniffles. That's not what I'm saying.
Come to church and you'll get healed.
But I'm just, all I'm saying is, you know, we're going to walk this out. Will we do it perfect?
No.
Probably not. But wouldn't you like to know if God gave you some answers? I mean, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus looks at Jairus and says, basically, remember what we talked about? Only believe. And Jairus, he already knows she's... And they walk in, they're already having a funeral. They're crying and moaning and everything. And he says, she's not dead. She's asleep. Now, all these people know she's not breathing. And the Bible, I mean, even talks about him putting people out. Okay? You don't have to think like I do. Why don't you wait outside? We'll be out in just a second. That's like the doctor saying, go to the waiting room. That's the physician saying, now, just go out there. We'll be right there. What would they say when she walks out? I mean, he makes her stand up. She stands up, give her something to eat. And he said, this always blew me away. Don't tell anybody about this. Come on, they're going to see her. She's walking. So I start saying, why do we only read about that in the Bible? I want to see it here. I want this church. I'm out there, I mean, on a limb. I want to see the dead raised in this church. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't want anybody to die. I don't want anybody to die in church. I don't really know how that's going to happen. I don't know if I'll be called somewhere and I'll pray for somebody, and I have no idea. Or maybe you'll be called somewhere and pray for somebody. And because it doesn't have to be me. But I want to. I believe that we are in time that God wants to show himself strong, and that's why he had us in this church. And that's why we're on this side of town. And that there are going to be some incredible things happen. And we'll look at each other and be like, that is amazing. And I've seen some incredible stuff. But I don't believe I've seen anything yet. And we'll see it together. But I promise you. I mean, I don't want you to leave here thinking I don't have Kool-Aid, and my name's not Jones, okay? So I'm not going to...
Well, hey now, hey. What I'm saying is Jesus said for us to do this, and we want you all to know the truth because he doesn't want to just use us.
Yes.
We're to equip you, but you have a world out there, and he wants to run you into the path of someone who needs him, someone who needs help, and that's Jesus. Jesus said it. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper, or those with plagues, raise the dead,
cast out
devils. Jesus said it. He said it. So I love you. So I hope my voice isn't like I'm condemning you. No, Jesus loves you, and we're here to equip you. I've seen too much. I've seen my own loved ones pass away, and I'm not having it anymore. Does that make sense? I'm mad as heck, and I'm not going to take it anymore. But I want you to know what you have inside of you. You have raising from the dead power. And Jesus said this, I'm not making it up, that the things that we saw him, that they saw him do, greater things will we do. We're going to do greater things. I don't even know what that looks like, but I just believe because Jesus said it, that we're going to do greater things. So I love you. I love you. And we're trying to raise up people and to equip you to go out and to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Okay. Are we all good? All right. We should all be good. We're going to receive our Wednesday night. Well, actually, we're here and we're able to receive instead of just at the door. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I just want you to get excited. So, you know, there won't be anything. If it's not in the book, we're not going to do it. Okay. All good. Come on, Scott. Come on, Ron. See, Ron was...